Okay, today we're going to be speaking, it's going to be our final part on washing dishes. today we're going to be talking about commercial dishwashers. And that is to say, like, you know, a dishwasher they might use in a restaurant, a nursing home, caterer, etc., those kind of places. And those dishwashers are very different than what people have in their homes. We'll start with dishwashers, then we'll get to other ways that they wash dishes as well, but our main focus will be on dishwashers. In a home dishwasher, it takes a really long time. You put in a whole load of dishes, and it takes a long time to wash it. The water keeps changing. It has a couple of different cycles, as we've spoken in the past, and each cycle, it drains out the water and puts in fresh water, and when it's finished, it drains out the water. And a commercial dishwasher is a whole different bird. What goes on in a commercial dishwasher is a really strong blast of water, lots and lots of water at a time, and it's really blast very strongly. That water, it could go for maybe a minute or so, very short amount of time, maybe even less. And when it's finished, that water gets sort of filtered, lightly filtered, and gets reused. The same water gets again and again. It's a lot of water at a time, and the water is nice and hot. And it gets used again and again for the next batch of dishes. Now, there are commercial dishwashers. There's two basic types. One's called a box dishwasher, and one's called a conveyor dishwasher. And both of them, the water that shoots out is just the jets that shoot out the water are stationary, as contrast to a home dishwasher where there's a rotating spray arm that spritzes around and hits the water from all different sides. Here, the jets that shoot it out are stationary. And as I said before, once the water hits the dishes, when it falls back down before it goes back into the reservoir, there's like a metal plate, like with holes in it, a perforated metal plate that the water passes through. So any big pieces of food get caught onto there. But most of the water goes through, including plenty of dirt goes through, food goes through with it, but any bigger pieces get caught on top there. Both a box dishwasher and a conveyor dishwasher work that way are the same. The difference just has to do with how the dishes get loaded and unloaded. In a box dishwasher, a box dishwasher looks size-wise about the same as a home dishwasher, but instead of being on the floor, like, you know, in a home dishwasher, it's like under the counter. Imagine this is like lifted up at eye level, just to make it easier to use. And it's got this big door in the front that you lift up. You lift up this big door, you put all the dishes into it, or the rack of dishes into it, and when you close the door, as soon as you close the door, the water sprays all around, and then you open the door again and pull it out. But it's quick, it's in and out. There's nothing moving in the dishwasher, no like moving parts. And let's give or take the size of like a home dishwasher. Okay, and the conveyor dishwasher, in this one is the depth is maybe and height is maybe the same size as a home dishwasher, but it's very wide or long, however you want to call it, and the dishes get pulled through on a chain or different ways that it pulls it through, a chain or a belt that pulls out a rack of dishes through the parts of the dishwasher. So it goes, let's say, from the left to the right. It gets pulled through, and as it pulls through, the water shoots at it from in different sections. And sometimes that's not just one type of section. There might be a section, one for rinsing, one for washing, one for sanitizing, but basically it gets pulled through. And by the time it gets through on the other end, in this case on the right end, by the time it pops out the other end, the dishes are clean. In this case also, there's this belt or chain that's pulling the racks through, but besides for that, there aren't any other moving parts. You know, the jets that shoot, they just sit still. They don't spin or turn around, anything like that. Okay, and the way the dishes go in and out, there isn't a door. Like I mentioned, by the box dishwasher, there's a door that you lift up to put the dishes in and out here. It's just an opening, and the opening has hanging down from it these, like, plastic curtains. Some of you see, like, in our food store, the plastic curtains that are split up with slits in them, and then the dishes just pull through them, and it sort of keeps the heat and the water sort of inside. Doesn't obviously do a perfect job, but give or take, it keeps the stuff inside. Okay, so now that we know a little bit what the dishwashers look like, when we spoke about home dishwashers, we said that a lot of the reasons to think that you could use the same dishwasher for milchiks and fleishiks has to do with the dinim of not bar not. And we also know that the din of matbarnat only applies when there's no food residue, and there's no food. It's for blias. Matbarnat works for blias, and that worked well for the sanitizing cycle of a home dishwasher where there's no food left. But that's not at all true for these commercial dishwashers, because here the water gets used again and again, and the so to speak filter only gets out the biggest pieces of food. Loads of residue passes through that sort of filter and gets into the water, which is to say is, and the water gets used again and again. The water doesn't even get drained out between washes. Some people will drain it once a day. Some don't even do that. So the water's got plenty of food in it, and means is that it's not possible to say to the samuch and not burn out over there. If in some of them there is soap in the water, some kind of, well, I shouldn't say the word soap is not correct. There's some kind of a chemical. There's always, at some point, there's a chemical in there that helps with the cleaning. That might not be in every cycle, and even if it is in every cycle, we have to really check it to see if it's really pugging, as we spoke about when we talked about home dishwashers. You need to test it to make sure those are not regular soaps that you use in your house, and you have to check to see if those are considered, if it's enough to be pugging. Now, to kosher a commercial dishwasher is a little bit more complicated than koshering home dishwasher. That's because because the food and the grease circulate in the water, and that water is not changed every time. So what happens is there's lots of places where food and grease and grime and leftover foods get stuck all over the place, and all these nooks and crannies all over the place in these dishwashers. And I'm going to mention a whole bunch of them. Or places where food gets clean, which is to say is that we'll get to the hot part of the kashering in a minute, but the cleanliness of it is much harder to get it clean than it is to get a home dishwasher. And that is like this. So let's start like this. The spray jets, you know, where the water comes out, what they look like is basically they're long tubes with holes in them, and the water gets pushed into this tube, and there's only these little holes, so it sprays out as a jet hitting all dishes. Those tubes, to keep up that pressure to get the water in, have like a cap at the end of it. You know, at the end of that tube, there's one. If you take out the tube and you open up the cap, voila, you may find all kinds of food inside over there. So you got to take that out, of course, and clean inside there. With a brush or something to clean inside there to get rid of the food and, again, the grease and the leftover stuff that might be in there. Okay, the doors and the water pools have lips and other places where grease can and food can collect, especially on the underside where it's hard to clean and where the water doesn't always reach. So when it does cleaning, you know, when it goes through there, then we have a filter. I mentioned there's this filter where the water goes through before it falls back into the reservoir, so they get the biggest pieces. Well, that's got a lot of little holes in it. Things with little holes are obviously difficult to clean. We'll talk about it in a second. But the Rambam says that a person not supposed to kosher things with small holes in it, not supposed to kosher them at all. We'll talk in a second about whether that actually applies over here. But definitely it needs to be cleaned well. And then there's also the chain or the belt that pulls the racks through. In a conveyor dishwasher, you have this chain or belt that's pulling it through. It's got a million cracks and crevices where food can get stuck in, and that's for the chain and the belt. The racks themselves, almost nobody will use kasher them, from milchiks to fleishiks or from treif to kasher or for chametz to pesach. And basically what happens is caterers will get their own, a special one for parav or for milchiks or for Pesach or this and that. He's not going to get his own dishwasher, but he'll bring his own racks as a way, rather than trying to kosher them. Okay, now, the good news about all this is, like I just told you, a whole bunch of places where food can get stuck in. But the good news is, the good news is that these kind of dishwashers are meant to be broken apart. They're meant that the pieces come apart very easily, one from another, for cleaning purposes. In other words, you can pull apart, the spray jets come out, and the doors come out, and the filter comes out, and the belt comes apart. Everything can be broken apart very easily. Once you know what you're doing, they're really easy to pull it apart. And they have to be, they should, can and should be taken apart, taken away from the dishwasher with a cramped little area where it is, and clean. Okay? Make sure they're cleaned well. Because there are people who use blow torches on these things for the cleanliness of it. You have to really have experience in it to do that. One way or another, the thing needs to be really cleaned. Now, let's just pause now for a second and think about how clean we have to make it. Our natural assumption, and I've been talking about how clean you have to get it, our natural assumption is you got to get every little bit out of it. In fact, it's not exactly correct. When we learned Hagol's Kalim, we saw that there's something there that we call Kederacham Chavdim, or whatever, there's different ways to call that. But it's based on the Mishnah, which is that a person, before they do Hagolah, they need to get the equipment as clean as what's considered the industry standard of clean. Okay? If there's little bits of the end that are left behind, that's okay, assuming that those little bits of the end are bottle of shishim. And the thinking is, the way the Rashi explains it, is that the if I leave a tiny bit of the end behind, and it will for sure be bottle of shishim, so I cleaned it as well as is considered acceptable to make this thing clean. So whatever I leave behind is in kavanas levatel. I have no interest in having it. You see, I cleaned it as well as is typical and as it's supposed to be clean. So the fact that there's something left behind, it's in kavanas levatel, and it's okay to use it in the kasher afterwards. But in order to be simach on this thing, to say that something is good enough, first of all, is it's got to be an amount that's bottle of shishim. The amount that's left is bottle of shishim. So, excuse me, you have to clean to get that clean, of course. And also, the way Rabowski said it was, clean. This din assumes that you got it as clean as people who want to have clean equipment, not as clean as people who want to use dirty equipment. So there's different levels in the industry. There's like, oh, I can keep on using it, no difference. I'll use it clean. That's not good enough. And then there's, no, I'm going to make it as clean. If when I make it clean, this is how I'm going to get it. Do I get every tiny little bit? No, that's considered acceptable to leave behind. Okay. Now, this whole cool of doing something to derech mechabdim only works if something will be where bittul b'shishim works. The underpinning of this din is that it's going to be bittul b'shishim, so it does not work on Pesach, because on Pesach, chametz doseh b'mashehu. So if a person is cleaning a dishwasher, is preparing a dishwasher, going to clean the dishwasher so you can kasher it to use a Pesach, that's not going to work. For kasher to treif, it'll be okay to be samach on this, but not for Pesach. Also, even on top of all this, a person does need to get it as clean as it's considered clean. So all the things I described about how well you have to break it down and clean all these nooks and crannies, that's correct. You need to do that. But if in end there's little bits that are left behind, seemingly that should be okay. The Ramos case, Ramos says to be mapped first of all by Pesach, and second is he's talking about like a greater, where the amount that's left behind may not at all be bottom shishim. What's left even in one or two holes would maybe not be bottom shishim. But as opposed to here, that would be okay. But anyhow, so Lamaise is like the cleaning is the hardest part of the kashering for these dishwashers. It has to be done thoroughly and patiently to make sure you clean it really well and again break apart all the pieces and get to work on it. Now once we've gotten through the cleaning, now the hot part of the kashering, the hagola part of it is not as complicated at all. Okay, which is, of course, as we put the dishwasher back together, the ikkar din is that things, as we've said many times, the ikkar din is that things should be kashered at roishchin, and if that's possible, in many dishwashers, you can adjust the temperatures to get water that's give or take close to 212, or as close as we can get to it. That's, of course, l'chatchila. But the ikkar din is that as long as the water is kavala kach potter, as long as it's as hot as the maximum temperature it was during treif use, that's good enough. So you have to know the cycles that there are. In many of them, it's adjustable. It's possible to change the temperature to get a higher temperature. And then running through cycles of that water will make sure we kasher the whole dishwasher. Now, some people weren't so happy about that, or they wanted to get the ikkar din, which was to get roishchin. And somehow they couldn't get the machine to do it. So what they did was they tried doing, so some people do leap one, they use a torch. Again, that's only if you know what you're doing and you have a lot of experience in how to do that. But other people have this other idea to use sternos as a way of doing Lieb und Kahl. Sternos are these little canisters of chafing fuels, and if you do it correctly, potentially you could do Lieb und Kahl. Again, back in what we spoke about hot boxes, it said in order to do this, you got to do is first of all you have to use ones that have ethanol or methanol as the fuel. In contrast, do not use the liquids, the diethylene glycol. And give or take, it's about one canister for every 10,000 cubic inches of space. What does that mean? So I took measurements from two dishwashers. One was a box dishwasher. It was 21 by 18 by 26, which comes out to about 9,800 cubic inches. So again, one for every 10,000, meaning we put in one sterner would be enough for that. A conveyor dishwasher was much bigger. It was 47 by 31 by 61, which is about 88,000 and almost 900 cubic inches. So for that, we would have to use 9 sternos as a way of making sure we got enough heat to do Lieb und Kahl in it. But, you know, that's a possibility of pulling that off. One last thing is that conveyor dishwashers, as I mentioned, have this plastic curtains in the front, the entrance and the exit. So those need to be taken off, cleaned really well. They usually have lots of dirt on them, cleaned really well. And then they can easily be put into a pot of boiling water. They can have a good old-fashioned hagola. So those are easy, but they should not be forgotten about. Okay, now that's all we've talked about. And that was what we had to say was about dishwashers. But there's also something else called the dish sanitizer. And to get the dish sanitizer, I have to tell you about something else first. And that is there's lots and lots of food service locations don't use dishwashers at all. Instead, they wash their dishes in a three-compartment sink. And that is to say, you have this sink, and it has three different sections in it, three different bases, three places where the water can go. One is, the first one, the dishes wash with soapy water. The second one is where they rinse off the soap. And the third is the dishes is for sanitizing. Okay? Okay, now, in the first one, as I mentioned, it's the soap, it's the wash, so it has soap in it. The second one has plain water, no soap in it, although there will be soap, you know, that residue left over from the dishes. Remember, this is the sink where we wash off the soap, so there's probably going to be some soap in there also. And the third one is water, usually hot water, mixed with a sanitizing chemical. Okay, now, the status of that, each of the three compartment sinks, depends on a lot of factors that are very specific to each place. What's in two in one place is not going to be in another place. I'll mention some of the factors. The first is the water outside this place. Is the water that comes out into these sinks, even if they ran at full blast at hot water, does that come above yachts? If it's below yachts, this place, of course, no time gets transferred in them. Next is the soap and the sanitizing solution in the different sinks. Is it pogum or not? Again, it's a matter of tasting it, and it's a matter of the concentration. Usually they're metered in. So they come at a very specific concentration, and we'll say, you know, this many drops for every gallon. So the question is it pogum? And also the question is, should we view this sink as a Klirishin or Klisheni or what? Because think of what's going on here. The transfers of the time happens with the water, you know, at the bottom of the sink. Most of it, at least, is at the bottom of the sink, where it seems like it's a Klisheni. Although maybe happens some of it where the water hits the dishes as it hits them. It's harder to imagine that. So we have to judge whether this is a Klirishin or Klisheni, and which will mean, are we concerned about time transit? So that's the three compartment sink. In some places, after the three compartment sink, now again, when it walks out of the three compartment sink, it's the dishes are completely clean, they're sanitized, they've had some kind of chemical on them, and everything's wonderful, but some of them have a machine called a dish sanitizer. It looks like a dishwasher that you have in your house. That's what it looks like, but it doesn't have three cycles, nor does it take very long. All you do is you put the dishes in, and it's done just a sanitizer cycle. Actually, that sanitizer cycle is usually pretty short also. All that happens is hot water with chemical, or two cycles, spray onto it to kill any bacteria that could be left on that might be some dishes. Now, using that same dish sanitizer from Milchigs and Fleischigs would be totally on this all the details of not Barnat that we've spoken about beforehand by a sanitizer cycle of a regular dishwasher. So you know, because at this point, there's no food on it. The things that go in there are perfectly clean. So one of the limitations is not by not to be able to use the same sanitizer for both for two different things. Is that it only works by heter. There's no not by not by iser. So that means, and this question of using this about not by not or sanitizing a sanitizer for kosher and trade came up in a lot of the Starbucks occasions where they have a dish sanitizer and it's used for trade. It's used to sanitize kalim that we use with hot, not kosher meat, and for hot kosher things like coffee and tea and things like that. And the question was, does Tom transfer from the tray from the meat kalim to the coffee kalim in that dish sanitizer? Okay, so over there, there's no not bar not in that case, because since we're talking about treif, not bar not doesn't apply to things that are treif. So figuring out the status of a dish sanitizer again depends on the machine. One is it has a lead display? Because you naturally assume, and some of them do operate above Yatz Lead Display to sanitize dishes, very hot temperatures to sanitize dishes. Other ones don't use hot water at all, or use warm water, and they use a chemical as a sanitizing. So it would depend on the machine. Maybe there's no time transition because it's not hot at all. Others, in fact, use hot water and a chemical, but the chemical is bad enough to make a problem. Okay, again, that depends on the concentration. And the type of chemical that they're using, whether it makes the food pogrom or doesn't make pogrom. And last is, even if they're sanitizing chemical, and even if it is pogrom, some of these will have a final hot rinse after the chemical as a way of rinsing off the chemical. So that final hot rinse may not have any chemical either. So if we're counting on the fact that the chemical makes the water pogrom, well, that might not be true, because there might be the chemical when it runs might be pogrom, but it may not be the rinse that comes afterwards might not be pogrom.